Well, good morning, and allow me to add my welcome to everybody else. Happy Father's Day. It's great to have you here with us this morning for first-time dads, young dads, fathers of teenagers and adults, granddads, great-granddads, and all those brave men out there that influence somebody younger for their growth and development. Today, we just really want to say thank you. Thank you, and keep loving and keep doing your best. We're not perfect, but I trust that you'll really enjoy Father's Day today. For those that will be confronted with the empty chair, I'm really sorry that today is also something of a painful reminder of what you really held dear and loved. May you know the comfort and the peace of God on your soul today. Well, we actually take the next step in our Go series, Incredible Adventures with God. And being Father's Day, we are looking at the incredible adventure of spiritual fatherhood. I have three boys, and here is a picture of my three boys. And I cannot believe just how much they've really grown up, Zach, Caleb, and Micah. In fact, when we started at CBC, we didn't even have little Micah, and I can't believe he's nine. I just really treasure being able to spiritually invest into my three boys. I really believe that God has entrusted my three boys into my stewardship. I just have such a small window of opportunity to be able to spiritually parent them. And so I take that very seriously, but it's also a great challenge as well. Today, I just want to give you a little bit about my journey of how I have tried to intentionally form and invest into my boys today. I really think there's some great challenges for us all today, even if you're not a father. There are, look, so many great challenges. I hope today's going to be a real encouragement. The metaphor for parenting that came to me really when Zach was 3 years of age, I want to take you to a really wondrous moment of my parenting, and that is Shell was pregnant with Caleb, our number two boy, and we were in the ultrasound. We were at that 20-week ultrasound, and I had, had Zach in the stroller, and just to kind of keep him a little content, I gave him some tiny teddies. It had some chocolate on the back of it, and it was a wondrous moment as we heard Caleb's heartbeat, and we saw his little toes and fingers, and I'm just waiting for this lady to tell us what the sex is. Secretly, sorry, Caleb, I was hoping for a girl. I might have said that a few times, but I'm really happy with a boy. And so here we were waiting, and I just can't believe that it's right at the end they tell you the sex of the child. It's kind of building up and building up. And the lady had that magical wand that put Caleb on the screen. She got right to the moment when she's about to tell the sex of the baby. I'm kind of rocking Zach in the stroller, and I noticed that he went seriously off color. And it was like a violent moment where Zach literally projectile vomited. It actually went past my eyeballs and was heading straight for the face of the lady with the magical wand. And I had this serious ninja Kill Bill moment where I literally just put my hand out and I cupped and I actually saved this lady. And I was holding Zach's vomit in my hands and it was like oozing through my fingers like egg. And it was at that moment that she said, "Oh, you're having a boy." And I thought, yeah, great. You know, I just see how the joy and the mess of parenting go hand in hand. You know, there was great joy in that moment as we saw Caleb and heard his heartbeat. But, you know, the mess, well, that's self-explanatory. That's what parenting's been like for me. There's this equal measure of joy and mess. And for many of us today, we have varying degrees of parental joy and mess in our parenting relationships, no matter how old your kids are. God's really put a phrase on my heart today for all of us. No matter how old your kids are, God's put a phrase on my heart, and that is, it's never too late. It's never too late. No matter how old your kids are, it is never too late. And I want to hold that intention today. I strongly hold to this really profound biblical truth that applies to all of us, no matter how old our kids are, and it comes out of the book of Isaiah for us. It's Isaiah chapter 40. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. It's this next verse. God, he gently leads those that have young. You know, it's never too late to invite God into the spiritual parenting of our kids, no matter how old. And this wonderful promise is really the starting point for me in my adventure of spiritual fatherhood. It starts with inviting God in to help me. And God promises that he will gently lead those that have young. And we need God's wisdom, his skill, his empowerment. We need God in us so that we can overflow his love into our kids' lives, no matter how old your kid is. It's never too late to invite God into the joy and the mess of parenting. You know, a key starting point for me has been exactly that, to invite God in. And God's, you know, entrusted me with my kids. So here are three areas that I've really taken seriously in spiritual fatherhood. It's these three areas of emotional formation, relational formation, and intentional discipleship. Each area, I think, is seriously, it's a seminar on its own. And the time that we have, I just want to give you a bit of a highlight out of each of these areas. But this is what I've really tried to do. I've intentionally tried to really be proactive in the emotional formation of my boys, the relational formation of their life, and intentional discipleship. Let's have a look at emotional formation. It's concerned with things like, well, my boys being able to name, recognize, and manage their feelings, identify with others and have compassion for them, inviting and maintaining close and meaningful relationships. I want my boys to have relationships, key relationships with others, developing the capacity to express their thoughts and feelings and to do that in a respectful way. But the absolute key in emotional formation of our kids is to be present. It's for us to be present in their life. If we want kids to be emotionally resilient, we need to be present. I want to draw your attention to Isaiah chapter 43. I want to read that for us. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. God says, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And this wonderful next verse is a beautiful promise that God says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. You see, God is our Father in heaven. Our spiritual Father is present in our lives. And when we go through deep waters, when we go through the fire and refining of life, God says, do not be afraid. I am with you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And if we want emotionally resilient kids on the inside, then fathers, we need to be present. We need to be present in our kids' lives. So what does our emotional presence look like for our kids and meeting their needs? I'm a really big fan of John Eldridge, and he's a great counselor. He writes a lot of books for guys. His last book is Get Your Life Back. But I was listening to some of his great podcasts, especially around being a dad. And he would suggest that every little girl and every little boy has the same question. For a girl, it is, Dad, do you see me? Do you see me? So when that little girl of yours goes and gets a dress on and starts to parade around in front of you, that's not the time to say, Mary, get out of the way, I'm watching the TV. No, no, that's your time as a dad to say, wow, Mary, I see you and you look beautiful. When that girl is 12 and 13 and she's formed, she's still got that question, Dad, do you see me? And those are the days where you need to step up and say, wow, I see you, Mary, and you are becoming a beautiful woman. For a young boy, he would suggest, John Eldridge would suggest, that every young boy has this question: Dad, do you think I can make it in life? Do you think I can make it? And what he would suggest is that as dads, if we don't answer this question in our daughters and in our sons' lives, then they will spend their whole life trying to answer that question. For a girl, she'll spend her whole life saying, finding somebody that would actually see her and possibly compromise all sorts of values to get that question answered. And for a boy that grows up to being a man, if he doesn't believe that his dad can believe in him, that he can make it in life, then that boy who will one day possibly become a husband and a father, he might even destroy his family, he may even sabotage his family for his career, just so he can actually feel like he can make it in life. These two questions are really important in the emotional formation of our kids. For me, with Caleb, my number two boy, he's never really been into mainstream sports. I've invited him and encouraged him to join soccer, but he doesn't want to. I don't want to push him. He's not really into competitive team sports. He loves scouts. But I've got Caleb a mountain bike, not a bad Julie, and I've invited Caleb out a few times. And of recent days, probably about for the last month, I have been astounded how good Caleb is at cross-country mountain biking. And it was only last week we were riding together. He did 33 Ks, and he was flying. We came to this very technical track, and just before this track started, he was going so well. I rode up alongside him, and I said, Caleb, you have what it takes to be an outstanding cross-country mountain biker. You have what it takes. That next track is about 5 Ks of quite technical riding. He was flying. As I'm sitting on his back wheel, I'm thinking, that's incredible. He has lifted many, many gears because he heard his dad say, you've got what it takes. Zach, he wants to be a tradie. A couple of years ago, a project I was doing was a back deck. It was in the middle of summer. It was quite hot. The sun was beating down. I gave Zach a couple of days off school and I invited him into this project, and he did a really good job. He showed initiative, he worked hard, he was keen to get involved, he wanted to learn. And at the end of that project, and he got some good pocket money, I said to him, Zach, you've got what it takes. If you want to be a tradie, you've got what it takes. I want to say it's never, never too late for you to go to your daughter and say, I see you, darling. I see you. It's never too late to go to your son and say, I really believe you've got what it takes. And that makes an enormous difference in our relationship, especially in the emotional formation of our kids. The relational formation. For me, the most important thing as we relationally form and invest into our kids is this word, empathy. One of the key virtues I think kids need to learn is empathy. Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. This is what Jesus said. Do to others as you would have them do to you. I really want my boys to be boys that are very empathetic in their life, in their relational formation. So how does that happen? Well, as my boys have been growing up, I've tried to teach them empathy by just giving them these reflection statements. I've noticed that when my boys have got upset and when my boys have been crying, I have never once said to them, stop crying, real boys don't cry, real men don't cry. That's false. Real men do cry. We are emotional human beings, and it is, if you're a male, it is okay to cry. In fact, those are the moments that I've wanted to teach my boys empathy when they have been crying. So I would say statements, and I still do this today. I would say, you know, I too would be upset if I lost my car. Or I too would be upset if I missed out on that party. Or I too would be upset if I couldn't climb that mountain. And what I've noticed, when I reflect an empathetic statement like that, the tears end up receding. And what it's actually teaching my boys is the profound, wonderful, relational, powerful virtue of empathy. We need our kids to be empathetic followers of Jesus Christ. And it starts with just some simple reflection statements. That's how our kids will learn. But I think for sure one of the most important relational investments I've made into my kids is to say, I love you. I'm proud of you. and I believe that you are good at. This is absolutely key. And Mike, I said before, really, Mike actually loves playing soccer. And quite often I'll say to Micah, you know, I love you. I'm proud of you, Micah. And I see that you're good at encouraging your teammates. Or I see, Micah, that you're good at scoring goals. Sometimes even from halfway. He's a really good kid. And I just want to speak that truth into him. And I know that it just builds him up. And it answers the question, Dad, do you believe I have what it takes? It's never too late to go to your daughter and say, I love you. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. And I think you're good at. It's never too late to go to your son and do the same, to say, I love you. I'm proud of you. I think you're good at. It is never too late to have that moment. God can do great things. You may have a strained relationship right now with your son or daughter. It happens all the time. And it may be for you, it might seem impossible to say that, but don't lose hope in the power of prayer. I remember our time to pray year. It was leading up to our vision launch of Freedom in Christ. We had a time to pray season. And we had a prayer wall. We wrote up prayer cards. We put it on the prayer wall. I remember one a.m. service. In the middle of the service, we got down all those prayer tags. We sent them out around the church, and we just prayed. In that same week, it was a Wednesday night, we had a prayer walk. I had five people in my group. We came to the prayer wall to pray over those prayer requests. And I'll never forget one person that was in our group. He went to his tag and grabbed his tag and then just started weeping and weeping and weeping. And we were like, are you okay? And he said, I haven't been able to speak to my son for like 20 years. And he rang me yesterday and said, Dad, can we catch up? And he was weeping in that moment. He said, I only wrote this in February and it was like a month later. And in the power of prayer, God can do great miraculous things. And you know how that son initiated the call? Was because his younger son said, Dad, how come you don't speak to your dad? God used a little boy to challenge this grown man to ring his own dad. And they had the chance to say that they love each other. God can do impossible things, even though you may be in a strained relationship right now. I want to encourage you, it starts with prayer. Prayer is powerful. The emotional and relational formation is absolute paramount when it comes to the adventure of spiritual parenting. But without a doubt for me, what really excites me, what I have loved the most in this journey is intentional discipleship. The intentional discipleship of my boys. I love this verse in Proverbs chapter 22. Train a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. I really believe that. And so what I've really enjoyed doing as a dad, I've loved investing into my boys the Word of God. We have about, 15, 20 memory verses that these boys, my boys, know off by heart. We'll say them every week. Old Testament verses, New Testament verses, I've rewritten them. If you would like a copy, email me and I would love to email you those memory verses I use for my boys. I want to give you two examples of how these memory verses are really changing their behavior. My boys was a season, and they still do, really struggling with anger. And I noticed that walls were being hit and doors were being slammed and words weren't very nice and my boys are being physical to each other. I read a whole bunch of books about how do I help my boys that are struggling with anger. And nothing was really working until I was so slow, I went to the Word of God. I should have gone there first, but I went to Ephesians 4 that says, be careful that your anger does not cause you to sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, for anger gives the devil a mighty foothold. Rather, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. That memory verse in their soul, I can honestly say, has been absolutely transforming their behavior over time. We pull that verse apart together. What does it mean to be careful that you do not let your anger cause you to sin? We talk about good anger when it comes to standing up for somebody that's being bullied, but then we'll talk about destructive anger. We'll have a conversation about how to actually step back when you feel really angry. It was only the other month that I noticed Zach, my 15-year-old, was in his room. He was under his covers. I said, Zach, are you okay? He says, Dad, I feel angry and I'm just calming down. I'm like, wow, that is maturity from a 15-year-old. And I don't want to take the credit for that. That is honestly the power of memory verses in our kids' lives. One of my biggest fears in parenting is the friends that my boys will choose. One of our memory verses comes from Proverbs. He who walks with the wise grows wiser, but a group of foolish friends will bring me harm. So we'll talk about what's a wise friend. Well, Proverbs 1 says, respect and obey the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. So we talk about what's a wise friend. Well, a wise friend is someone who respects and obeys the law. Good, the Lord, good to be a friend with that person. But then we talk about what's a foolish friend. We don't say, don't be a friend with a fool, but be careful that you don't allow that fool to influence you, because they will actually bring you harm in life. So we talk about choosing friends wisely and having that memory verse in their heart and their soul. The Word of God is absolutely transforming my boys. When you have an opportunity, make sure you invest into memory verses into their soul, because I know that that's going to carry well with them into their adult years. There's no guarantees that my boys are going to turn out the way that I hope they will. But I'll tell you this, I can honestly say, hand on my heart, when they've packed their bags and they've walked out the door, I can honestly say that I've done all that I can in the adventure of spiritual fatherhood. And that's what I think would be great for all of us to say. I've done my best. I've done all that I can. God, it's now up to you. It always is up to God anyway. I think the second area for me is really just live a vibrant fellowship of Jesus Christ. And so I'll just be really excited about following Jesus. And I want to be a man of integrity in following Jesus. Zach may have pushed my buttons the other day and didn't come and help wash up. And I reckon I overreacted. And he probably copped a little bit more of my stress in life rather than just not coming out. Probably wasn't my best moment. And the next day when we're having breakfast together around the breakfast table, I honestly just said, manned up and said, Zach, I am sorry for overreacting. Last night in you not coming to help wash up, I was disappointed that you didn't come and help us. And he just looked at me and he says, that's okay, Dad, I forgive you. Man, that is so important that our kids can hear us say, I'm sorry for, and that they can say, I forgive you, Dad, because that is a very, very powerful gift, reconciliation, as our kids grow up. I want to be a man of integrity, live a vibrant life. When I see God answer a prayer, I'll share that with our kids. When I think I've heard from Jesus, I will share that with our kids. Just live a vibrant, active fellowship of Jesus with your kids, and it's very catchy. It's very catchy. I think the last area that I think is really important is the stewardship of money. We need to teach our kids the importance of managing their own finances. And I've just done that in a really simple way. When they were younger, we had three jars of give, save, spend. So we give them some pocket money. And we just basically said, when you get this money, you're going to put some in the give jar, you're going to put some in the save jar, some in the spend jar. And so we're going to give money away, we're going to save some money, and you can spend some money. And that principle, I know, will carry them well when they set a budget for their own family one day. We want our kids to be able to give money away. They need to save money. And, well, we need to pay our bills and we need to spend some money and enjoy some pleasures on this earth as well. Give, spend, save. It's pretty simple, but I know it's really important. The emotional formation, the relational formation, and the intentional discipleship has been paramount for me on this adventure, and I've loved it. I've absolutely loved the joy. You know, my kids make me laugh at times. I remember when Zach was four, and he was literally on my shoulders, and I was walking towards Woolies. It was like Saturday afternoon. It was like about 5 o'clock, and these two very attractive young ladies, they were all dressed up, they were going out, and they were coming towards us. And as these two girls came towards us, Zach kind of started to move on my shoulders, and when they got really close to us, Zach goes, "Hello, ladies." And they lost it. I must have gone bright red. I can't believe my four-year-old would say that. I got into Woolies and I needed some time to kind of recover from that moment. And I just bent down eyeball to eyeball and I said to Zach, he's like all of four. I said, "Where'd you get that from, Zach?" And he looks at me and goes, "Alvin and the Chipmunks." It was a great moment. You know, there are seriously joyful moments But there are messy moments. But you need to be present. Present in the emotional formation. Present as we invest into their relational formation, and that we're intentional about our discipleship, because that intentionality is like a mustard seed. And this is what Jesus said about what the kingdom of God is like. He says, the kingdom of God, it's like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all seeds, just a mustard seed. Actually grows into a great big tree, because this is what Jesus says. He says, the kingdom of God, of heaven, is like that mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it grows into the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. We need to put little mustard seeds of the kingdom in our kids' lives. And again, it's never too late. It's never too late to go to your son and your daughter and put a mustard seed of faith that God can sprout to become an enormous tree. It's never too late. God can do great miracles. So I want to leave you with a practical step. Each week in our Go series, we've got a practical step. And this is the practical step. So fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, those that are caring for little ones that you have some influence over, here's a practical step. To be able to go to them today and across this week and say, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I see that you're good at. I reckon we can do that. It's a good starting point. But I want to twist this a little bit and say, it's not easy being a dad, and we don't get it perfect. And there's a lot of expectations on dads, and it's hard, and it's discouraging, and we're tired. And we need encouragement too. Can I encourage you, wives? Go to your husband today and say, I love you. I'm proud of you. I see you're good at. Kids, go to your dad. You tell your dad, I love you, and I'm proud of you, Dad. And I see that you're good at, because we need encouragement as well. Have a great Father's Day. I'd love to pray for us. Our Father in heaven, I thank you that we've been able to open your word. I thank you for the wonderful journey and joy that parenting is. And even in the messy moments, I thank you that you are there. I thank you for that wonderful promise that you gently lead us that have young. But Father, I just ask that for all the fathers today, that you would help us to be very present and hands-on with our kids. Help us, Lord, to be able to emotionally invest into our kids. May our daughters know that we see them. May our sons believe that they have what it takes to make it in life. Lord, may we love and say that we love our kids and that we're proud of them. And Lord, may we intentionally invest your word. Help us to live a vibrant discipleship in front of our kids. Help us, Lord, to wisely challenge our kids to steward finances well. And Lord, help us to never, ever give up. No matter how strained our relationships can be with our kids, Lord, I thank you that you can do impossible things. Thank you that with a mustard seed of faith, you can see a big tree grow in our kids' lives. Lord, I thank you for the joy and the mess of being a dad. I love being a dad. It's a wonderful gift. Thank you for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.